Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Wall. What if I told you there was a proven, effective way to better your relationship with God, deepen your relationship with others, and improve your mental health? Well, there is, and it's been around as long as time has existed. Prayer is a fundamental aspect of our lives as Christians. It's also deeply fundamental to our personal relationship with God. Today on the show, we talk about how prayer is connected with our personal relationship with God, how seeing God as a loving Father can help us understand relationship-based prayer, and things we can do to make prayer more personal. I'm excited to have Robert Hatfield, a returning guest, on this week's episode. Buckle up, everyone. This is Road Trips. All right, Robert Hatfield, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I'm honored to be here, Tyler.
Absolutely. I wanted to have you on to talk about prayer and its connection with a personal relationship with God. I know you're doing a series on one of your podcasts, Four Preachers in a Podcast, about prayer. So just thought you'd be the right person to talk to about this. So I'm excited.
I don't feel like an expert in prayer by any means. And I think I feel the way everybody feels that, you know, we ought to be at the end of a day. I think, you know, I probably could have, if not should have, prayed more today than I did before. And if I look back on my life and think, you know, are my prayer habits the way they are supposed to be? The answer is probably not really what I want it to be. But this series we've been doing on prayer on that other podcast, and then the conversation, prepping for the conversation today, do help me a whole lot, although admittedly not an expert on prayer by any means.
But I'm sure that studying it has been helpful, and I've enjoyed listening to those episodes. So this is just a loaded question to begin with, but let's just define our terms. What is prayer? How would you define prayer?
Mm-hmm. Simply put, prayer is just talking to God. You know, it has to do with a Godward attitude. But really Godward communication. So that can happen internally or externally. You know, Nehemiah standing there before the king, he's supposed to be the cupbearer. Evidently he's got some kind of look on his face, and you know, that can mean his job. And the king's like, "Hey, what's wrong?" And before he answers, he prays. Well, did he pray out loud? I don't think so. I think it was just a really quick Godward turned thought. And then he goes right back into the conversation that was happening in the physical world. And so that tells me it's okay to do it that way. Or I can get on my knees three times a day, like Daniel did. And, you know, looking out the window facing Jerusalem, I guess, if I wanted to, that's what Daniel did. And I can pray and even do so audibly. You know, Hannah's prayer, when Eli the priest is walking around and he looks at her and he thinks she's mad. Because she's, you know, like kind of crazy because, you know, she's sitting there kind of mumbling and muttering to herself and he doesn't realize she's praying. Okay. So, all of that tells me that prayer really is at its core. It's just communicating with God. It's talking to God.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you bring up, examples of just, in your just everyday life or when you're talking to someone, prayer is one of those spiritual disciplines, I feel like, that if this makes sense, you don't have to necessarily make the time for. You know, some spiritual disciplines kind of take some intentional setting aside time, but you can pray, you know, driving to work or changing a diaper or doing the dishes or whatever.
Hey, okay.
You don't... you may need it then, but you know, it's one of those things that you don't necessarily have to just set aside specific time. You can, and that's a good habit, like you mentioned Daniel does. Mm-hmm. But you can do it any time, and I think that that's a beautiful thought, and that also goes to show just how loving and how caring God is, the fact that we serve a God that is always available. He's always going to hear it. Mm-hmm. He's not on standby like we are. You know, there's some limits to when people can reach us or have access to us, but God is always available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So we're talking about having a personal relationship with God. What does prayer have to do with our personal relationship with God?
Yeah. Well, in any relationship, and by the way, what you have with God is a relationship. And I think there are some Christians who kind of balk at that a little bit. I think maybe they've heard people that they don't trust, because maybe they don't always teach things that are true. And they talk about having a relationship with God. Maybe they think it's a little too charismatic to talk about having a relationship with God. But listen, when the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, for example, that we've been adopted as sons and daughters through Christ into God's family. And so in Hebrews, it says, therefore, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And in Romans 8, it says that because of that, we can relate to God and cry out to him, Abba, Father. Okay. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. And he gives us a model prayer. And it begins, Matthew 6, 9, our Father. So prayer is a part of the relationship that you have with God. And that's biblical to say. You are his child. You relate to him in that way. And communication is essential in any relationship. That's certainly true for prayer. We need to talk to God, and God desires to hear from us. You know, prayer has to do with cultivating an intimacy between us and God. It helps us grow closer to God. It deepens our connection to God as we spend time in his presence in prayer. We learn to trust and depend on him in prayer. A lot of times we talk about the power of prayer, and I don't mean to mince words or to be too like persnickety, like I'm an old man, I'm, you know, better say it right. But, you know, really the power is not in the act of praying so much as it is in the God to whom we pray, with whom we are communicating. When we pray, we are soliciting God's power, God's help, at God's will to be done. And so it's the power of God in prayer. And there's an intimacy then in bringing these concerns, you know, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares, or the modern translations say anxieties, on him because he cares for us or for you. God really does care. And so when I'm giving him this stuff, and it's not just the little things, it's the big things. It's the things that I'm not really willing to share with just anybody else. It's the things that maybe only my inner circle, most trusted group of people around me know, or maybe not even they know, but I can say this stuff to God. You know, Jesus talks about entering a prayer closet. And I don't think, you know, he's not talking about that necessarily literally, although there's nothing wrong with having just a place where you go, where you can talk with God, and maybe even you speak audibly, and you're able to say whatever's on your mind, and you're not worried about somebody else overhearing you. But prayer cultivates that intimacy, and it also helps us to align ourselves with God's will, to align our will with God's will, just like Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. And so prayer helps us to make our hearts more like the heart of God. It's not just prayer that does that. We need the Word of God as well to help us with that, of course. And we'll talk more about how the Word of God comes into our prayer life maybe in a little while. But when we talk about what it has to do with having a personal relationship with God, my thoughts immediately went to communication, intimacy, and alignment with God's will. And really, don't we need that in any relationship? You know, what if your significant other never heard from you and you never heard from her? What if you didn't cultivate a healthy intimacy with each other, an alignment in terms of your values and goals, you know, what you're working toward, what you're trying to, even where the relationship is going. And prayer helps to accentuate that. And sometimes even it represents that relationship that we have. And so it is a fundamental hallmark of the relationship we have with God.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And I love the part about, you know, alignment with God's will. And we find God's will in the pages of Scripture. Sometimes it's really hard to understand, like, what God's specific will is for our lives. And so we pray, like, God, do you want me to stay here, or do you want me to move? Do you want me to marry this person? Do you want me not to? Whatever that is. And sometimes it's not going to be clear and specific. But getting to know God through the pages of Scripture and reading what His will is for all Christians and for all people can help us understand that. You know, I've always said this, and I'm sure Christians would agree, is that I really wish God would just come down and sit by me and say, this is exactly what I want you to do. But the reality is that he's not going to. But we read Scripture, and we even the Old Testament, of knowing what people did and knowing their courageous faith and seeing what they did in certain situations, that can help us. And then the communication and the intimacy, you know, sometimes if God is feeling if you feel that you're far away from God, then maybe that's the time when we need to draw close to Him through prayer and through worship, you know, personal worship or personal prayer, or like you said, maybe getting together with some friends and praying. So I love those three things that you bring up. And so speaking of Scripture, you mentioned Nehemiah and Hannah and Daniel. Who is an example from the Bible that displays relationship-based prayer that maybe we can go back and look at?
Mm-hmm. This one was hard to narrow down because, you know, you do have, I mean, for example, Daniel has such a robust relationship with God that it really doesn't matter what decree is made. He's not going to stop talking to God and to God alone. So, you know, virtually any praying relationship that we find in Scripture is worthy of study. And I know preachers who have done sermon series on prayers in the Bible, you know, and that's always a great study. I really wanted to go with Jesus, but instead I went with David. And the reason why, sometimes I wonder whether Jesus is a great example, but I don't want us to think, well, yeah, but he's Jesus. Okay. So here's David, and he's a normal dude, just like you and I are normal people. But anyway, we're fairly normal people. And David's prayers are recorded for us. I mean, obviously not in their entirety, but a good number of them in the Psalms. And I think that's part of why we love the Psalms so much. And what I love about the prayers of the Psalms is that they are so open and honest, authentic. And so I thought that would be a good illustration of relationship based prayer. For example, Psalm 51 gives us an example of David's prayers where he's honest and vulnerable. And he's sinned and he knows it. The Jewish tradition surrounding Psalm 51 is that this is the psalm that David wrote after Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted him about the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba, and also against her husband, Uriah the Hittite. The result of that was the conception of a child. And, you know, if you remember, Nathan told this story about a man who had all these sheep, but a guest is coming over, and he goes and gets the one little ewe lamb who was like a pet to his neighbor, slaughters it, and serves it up for his guests. And, you know, David, he's got a shepherding background. He's irate. And Nathan looks at him and says, well, you're that guy, you know. You have all of this, and you went after something that wasn't yours. And look at what you've done. The response to that pours out of David's heart in the 51st Psalm. And we don't have time to study it all and read it all. It's a great, 19-verse study. But perhaps most famously from Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, verse 10, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. He talks about how it just feels like his sin is everywhere. He can't escape it. In a world with a growing number of people who are addicted to this and that, in a world where it seems like sin is just crouching at every single door, I like to say in a backdoor kind of way, it's a little backwards, but I'm kind of comforted to hear a guy like David say, I understand exactly how that feels. And for him to give us an example of what it's like to just come and pour out my heart to God. I'm guilty. I know it. You know it. I need your mercy and your grace. Please, God, help me. And you know what? God did. That's amazing and beautiful and wonderful. So what I love about David is he's honest and vulnerable. But there's more. David is also trusting and dependent. I see that in the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm, I think it's familiar to virtually anyone who knows anything about the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need, or I shall not want. There's nothing that I'm lacking. And so I can trust him to lead me beside still waters, to lead me into green pastures, to restore my soul, all of those things. David is also worshipful in his Psalms. In other words, he prays. Praising prayers in Psalm 34. I love verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. But the way it begins in verse 1, Psalm 34, 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, if you ever find yourself struggling, here's a good exercise. If you feel like I'm just down in the dumps today, I don't know how to get out of this, pray a prayer and just try to pray a prayer that is only praiseworthy or a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray intercessory or supplication prayers. It's certainly okay to do that. Jesus teaches us that. Virtually everybody in Scripture who prays for someone or something. But if you're feeling down in the dumps about something one day, just pray a prayer of praise and see if that doesn't lift your spirits. David's also humble. There are times when David prays, for example, in 1 Samuel 23, shall I go and attack the Philistines now? And then he gets an answer. Go and attack the Philistines. And then again in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 23, he inquired of the Lord again, and the Lord answered him. So he was seeking guidance from the Lord before he took action, in that case, in battle. There have been moments, Tyler, you mentioned a minute ago, like sometimes I pray that God will reveal his will to me, and it's not like something in Scripture. It's something like what you said, like, should I go this direction or that direction? And there may not be a wrong answer, but I just want guidance to what will help me more toward the future. Sometimes I can know that, sometimes I can't. I think about the prayer of Gideon, where he says, can the fleece be dry, one day and the ground around it be wet, and then the other day was vice versa. I may have gotten the order of that flipped, but anyway, and sometimes I've come short of basically saying, hey, God, if I put some fleece out here, would you make it wet today and dry the next day? I've almost said, I know he doesn't work like that anymore, but I've almost done that, if I'm just being honest. David is humble enough to say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I need your help. Will you please somehow let me know what I should do? And sometimes I pray prayers like Paul did in Colossians 4, that God will open doors. And I've found that can be really helpful. So that's what I love about David. One more, and that's just that he's persistent in his prayers. In Psalm 55:17, he talks about praying at evening and at morning and at noon. And of course, the Jews did have a custom of praying three times a day. And we see that reflected in Daniel, as I mentioned earlier. That doesn't mean that we have to pray three times a day. We're certainly not limited to three times a day. And that doesn't mean we have to pray evening, morning, at noon. Although if you're trying to get started in a prayer habit, that may be a good time to do it. You might think about it like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, I mean, pray before your meals and start there. But I think it's good to pray beyond that as well. But what I do love about this is it communicates persistence. David is willing to hang in there with prayer. And hey, you know, I ask God a question. He doesn't always, in fact, he never thunders down with a voice from above to tell me the answer. Sometimes I can decipher his answer and sometimes I cannot. Doesn't mean he doesn't answer. He always does. But it does mean that I'm persistent in trusting him. We ask in faith without doubting, James chapter 1 says. So David is a good example of that. And I love the relationship of this. David is just willing to talk with God. That doesn't mean that he demeans God or lowers God by bringing God down to a level beneath where he should. God is still greatly to be feared. He is still God, and I'm still a human being. He's the creator, and I'm the created. But he's one with whom we can be honest and vulnerable, trusting. He's worthy of my praise and my prayers, and I can be humble before him and persistent in coming to him. And I just and there are more points as well, but I just wanted to offer these up. I think David's a good example of somebody who gets it. It's a relationship in the prayers that we offer.
Yeah, I love that. And
sorry, that was like a sermon.
No, it was great. I mean, the points and everything, I followed along with that pretty well. But you know, it just my mind went to the 10, 2, and 4 times that you're supposed to drink Dr. Pepper. You can also use that to pray.
Oh, okay.
Also drink yes. Dr. Pepper. That's a little bit of a throwback, but my mind also went to when you were talking about David being worshipful. I think all those psalms that you read, all of them are songs that we now sing, which I think is mm-hmm. so powerful, the connection between music and the songs that we sing during worship and the connection between that and scripture and prayer and how that's all, you know, intertwined. And it just goes back to this idea of, like you said, not necessarily lowering who God is. You're reverent towards him, you're reverent towards his nature, but you're still able to approach him as a father, because, you know, we now are his children. And I just love the points that you bring up and I just thought that was interesting. And it goes and my mind also thinks about the fact that nothing is off the table. And I think that's something that David really proves, is that there's nothing that can't be prayed about. I've thought, and I'm sure many others have thought too, like, well, you know, does God really care about this t-ball game or whatever? And it's like, well, maybe he doesn't care who wins and loses, but you can pray for safety. You can pray that, mm-hmm. you know, whoever it is that's praying, you know, my nephew, my son, whoever, you know, that they show good sportsmanship, that they treat their teammates right. You can add prayer into all areas of your life if you allow it to. And I think about that verse in Colossians, opening doors, opening opportunities. The song we sing, "Lead Me to Some Soul Someday," today or whatever. You know, it's just things like that that my mind went to with prayer. And I think you're exactly right. I think David really displays that all just so well and so openly and honestly in the Psalms.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you read the Psalms and you're like, I didn't know you could say that to God, you know, because he'll say things like, how long, Lord, when are you going to step in and take this away from me? And I don't think that's said in pride at all, because later, if you keep reading the Psalms, he comes back around and he'll say, but I do trust you and I do know. Sometimes David says, or one of the psalmists will say, it feels like you've abandoned me right now, Lord, and I don't know what to do. But then he'll come back around and say, but I know you haven't, and I know you're going to take care of this, and I know you're going to take care of my enemies, or whatever it is, you know, that he's praying about. So you're right. We can come before God with literally anything. Nothing's too small to take before God, and nothing is too big to take before God. He can handle it all.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff. So how does, We've kind of touched on this. How does God being depicted as a loving father and God being our heavenly father, how does that help us understand relationship-based prayer?
Mm-hmm. When we talk with God, who is our father, and by the way, that brings up a point that may be just worthy of mentioning, that, you know, prayer is something that is a special privilege for God's people, those who can relate to God as our Father. And we get to do that because we're in Christ. And of course, if anybody's baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ, Paul says in Galatians 3, 26 through 29. So being in Christ gives me a multiplicity of spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1, 3 and following. And evidently one of those is that I can talk to God in prayer. So this is really, really special. And when we do that, we're approaching this divine being whose nature is wonderful and truly awesome and beyond comprehension. We're talking to God who is, you know, the things that make God, God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's eternal without beginning or end. And then, you know, there are moral attributes as well. God is love. He's perfectly love. God is just. He's perfectly just. He's always fair. So when we, and many, many others, when we talk to God, we're talking to this God, the God who is this, all of these things. And yet, he is approachable. And so this image, I guess I've often thought, like, I guess God could have chosen to describe the relationship he has with us in other ways, and perhaps he does to some degree. But the one that we get most of all is of a father and children. We're in his family. And that's not a mistake, right? I mean, God wants us to relate to him that way, and he desires to relate to us in that way. So we're praying to a God who is approachable. Now, all this is possible because of the great work that Jesus has done. And read Hebrews. And that's another thing. I'm going through Hebrews right now in another podcast that I do. That's not a shameless plug. It's just like Hebrews is really on my mind right now. And in Hebrews chapters 4 and really following, the whole section that is about the high priesthood of Jesus. And now he's our great high priest. And what that basically means is Jesus has paved the way between us and God. And now he is with God and at God's side for us. He's there working for us. So because we have this great high priest, Hebrews 4 says in verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Here is a God who is approachable, but he's also concerned for us. I love what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock, it'll be open to you. Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it'll be open. And then he says, which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? You know, if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. And then here's the point, if you then, who are evil, this is hyperbole, if you are inconsistent, if you're flawed, you know, you're not perfect, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So God is really concerned for us. If you ask, he'll give it to you. If you seek, you'll find. Now, that's kind of a blanket statement, right? But we're asking in accordance with God's will, in humility, in trust and dependency upon him. So it's not like we're some spoiled kid at Christmas time. And it's like, well, I put that on my Christmas list and you better give it to me. You know, we would never approach God like that. So we get to come to God and say, God, I don't know, but this is what I think is best, but I pray your will be done. And we know that God is really concerned for us and that God wants to give us good things. And along the way, God's going to help us learn and grow. In Hebrews chapter 12, when God is talking about like discipline, which, you know, it is like punishment kind of discipline. And hey, I think God can use negative circumstances in our lives to teach us lessons. I'm not saying that always means God sent those negative circumstances, but they can certainly be used to help us draw closer to God and maybe make better decisions. And in Hebrews 12, starting at verse 6, it says, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" And then he goes on from there. And so, you know, again, this is part of that relational thing that we have with God. And then I think about this. God is loving and forgiving. And so here's this God who, let's just let it build a minute. He's approachable and he's really concerned about us. And he loves us so much that he's even willing to help us learn and grow. And along the way, we're going to realize that we've messed up, and sometimes we've messed up big time. But if I understand this parable of these sons, we usually call it the parable of the prodigal son. But really, the focus is on two sons, but also the way the father responds to those two sons and to the struggles that both of them are having. And this father, in the story Jesus tells, well, that's a representation of our heavenly Father. And so look at how he loves him, how he responds to him when the son comes back home. And then I hit 1 John 1:9, where he says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God is loving and forgiving. And if you come to God and say, "God, listen, I know what I've done is wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Will you please forgive me?" God is faithful. God wants to forgive you of that and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just one more. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6:8, "Don't be like the Gentiles who think that they have to pray with a lot of flowery words in order to be heard." He says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, saying don't be like the Gentiles doesn't mean that we can't pray long prayers. They prayed long prayers. It's okay to pray long prayers. It's okay to pray short prayers. In the garden, it seems like Jesus prayed for like an hour or more. And so it's okay to pray long periods of time, even long prayers. The point there was, you know, the Gentiles thought that in order to get the attention of God, they had to pray really long prayers. And, you know, Jesus's point is you don't have to do that. And then here's the point I'm trying to make right now. God knows what you need. No, he says your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So don't fret over saying the perfect prayer, over whether your wording is just right. God's going to love you anyway. And your English may be broken. Your words may be difficult. You may not even really be able to express what it is that you're trying to say or what your heart is feeling. And by the way, if you have that moment, go over and read Romans 8, verse 26, how the Holy Spirit is able to intercede for our hearts and carry the sentiment of our hearts, though unspoken, before God. So when we engage with this God, we're engaging with a God who's approachable and really loves us and is concerned about us, even to the point of he's willing to help us learn and grow, and he provides for us. And so, God being depicted as a loving father helps us understand and really accentuates that. And it also reminds me of this, and I think it just needs to be said in a conversation like this. Prayer is not supposed to be ritualistic or formulaic. It's heartfelt communication with the living God. Yes, Jesus gave us an example of how to pray because, hey, we gotta be taught somehow. You know, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said, "Okay, when you pray, pray like this." And he gave us an example, but it's a model. It was never supposed to just be memorized and regurgitated. So you know, there are some things I think that we need to think about. You know, if you have a real relationship with somebody, it's not enough to just recite things at them all the time. You want to make sure that whatever you communicate, even if the words are not original with you, that they are truly the sentiments of your own heart. And that's what we can do with God, because God is our loving Father.
Yeah, and I just love that, you know, just as you were talking, it just made me think that God displays all the characteristics of what a good or a perfect earthly father would be. One that is present, one that forgives, one that loves sacrificially and unconditionally, one that is available. Of course, you know, no father can ever you know, reach that 100% constantly, but God does, and he's available and there for you. I had my Bible open to Matthew 7 and 6 through 8, and that's just kind of where my mind went, is that he's available and he's there, and he will give you what you need. Sometimes what we need isn't always what we want, and I think that's part of him being a good, perfect, loving father. And just to put a bow on it, because you said everything that needed to be said, you know, he sent his son for us, and the ultimate, you know, show of love, sacrificial, agape, however you want to describe it, you know, he sent his son for us because he loved us. And that's the kind of love that a perfect father would show, you know, that it's sacrificial, yeah, and it's unconditional. So last question here, what are some things, just kind of as we close, what are some things we can do to make our prayers more relational?
Yeah. Well, I've got 10 just practical tips, and we'll just sort of go through these. The first 5 are things I think we need to be. We need to be honest and open. Sometimes for those of us who regularly attend worship services, you know, we may naturally, and especially if we learn to pray as children based on, you know, the way the men lead us in our worship services, we may naturally think that that's the way to pray. And I'm not knocking any of that. And there's no question that when the church gets together, we need to pray together. I mean, the New Testament church did that, and that's important. And there's something special about congregational prayer, communal prayer. And yet, sort of the pitfall of that, the reason why it's a little too anemic to really get us through the entirety of our spiritual lives, is because we're having to pray very broadly in those moments. And maybe we cannot be as open or as honest as we need to be. In fact, maybe there are things that need to be prayed about, but we may not mention those specifically because there are young ears in the group, and maybe they don't need to hear some of those things. You know, that's just one example. So when you're praying, just you, and you're praying, and you've got a relationship with your father, and you want to tell him things, and you can tell him anything, be open, be honest, tell him exactly what's going on. And you know what? You're not hiding anything by not saying that thing to God. Like, he already knows it all anyway. Hebrews 4:16, all things are, not Hebrews 4:16, but anyway, Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. And so he knows it all. So go ahead and tell him, you know, fess up before him and let him know exactly what's on your heart, whether that's sin or whether that's a struggle. You know, maybe you need to tell him, God, I'm struggling with this person's personality today, and I think I've misunderstood them, or they're just rubbing me the wrong way today. And God knows that. He already knows it. You might as well tell it to him and ask for his wisdom in the situation. All right, 2, I can't preach a sermon on every one of these. 2, be grateful. Be grateful. Don't forget to thank God for things, especially when God has answered your prayers in a way that you can decipher. Even if the answer was no, be grateful that God has provided for you in that moment. 3, be biblical. Here's what I mean by that. It is appropriate to use Scripture to guide your prayers. So earlier we were talking about David's prayers and recorded for us in the Psalms. Well, maybe there's an aspect of that, and you're reading that and you're thinking, you know what? That that encapsulates my heart. It'd be all right for you to pray that to God. Maybe if you're uncomfortable, and by the way, remember what I said a minute ago, don't recite it. It's not a ritual. It's not a formula. But it's okay to pray God's words back to him. That's okay. In the Bible. I love it when my kids repeat to me the things that I've told them, because that way I know that they're listening, right? That's a good thing. And I can imagine that God would be the same way. Or if you don't want to do it that way, maybe you read like Psalm 51 and then you step back and in your own prayer, you pray a prayer that essentially summarizes what you just read there, but it's in your own words. Same difference, right? But you're praying biblical prayers, and that's good. Number four, be consistent. Pray regularly and pray often. In Colossians 4, verse 2, it says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Some translations say, devoting yourselves to prayer. Question, can you say you're devoted to prayer? Can I say I am? I told you at the top of the podcast today, sometimes I'm just not. In fact, I don't know if I am very often at all. Sometimes I use prayer more like a fire extinguisher, you know, like it's there when I need it, but I really don't ever use it. And, you know, in case of an emergency, break glass. Well, don't wait on the emergency to break the glass of prayer, proverbially speaking. You know, be consistent. Pray regularly. Pray often. Do you need to set a reminder in your phone to buzz you on certain times of the day? Do it. Write it in your planner. Write it on your hand. I don't know. Do something. But find ways to get yourself in that habit. Because, Tyler, like you said at the top of the episode, it is a discipline. Prayer is a discipline. And what that means is it's just something that we have to get in the habit of doing. All right. You know what? I put be grateful on my list twice. So I'm just going to say it again, be grateful. All right. Now, for the next ones, I want to talk about sort of a characteristic of prayer, and that is the characteristic of trusting God. We need to trust him. And here's what I mean by that. I like to think about it like leaning in on God's promises. So pray the easy prayers. God, thank you for, God, please help me with, please bless this person who's sick or struggling or grieving. But I want to also encourage you to pray the tough prayers. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them, pray for them. You know the people that you'd really rather not pray for. You know the people for whom it would be difficult to say, God, please bless this person, the person who's hurt you. But Jesus says it's important to do that. Pray the tough prayers. You say, I don't know if I can do that. Well, do you trust God or not? That's what I'm asking. And I'm not trying to be unkind or push you too hard or too far. But Jesus says, do this. And so do it. And I think you will find, as I have, because I've had those moments, that there are names that I'd rather not utter in prayer. But when I realized that, I was actually in the middle of a private prayer one time, and I realized that I really needed to pray for this person, but I didn't want to. And in that moment, I was so humbled because I thought, well, who do I think I am that I'm not willing to lift up this person whom God loves in prayer? And by the way, God already knows my heart about this. Maybe I need to pray for courage to do that thing that I know I should be doing, but I'm not doing because I know it's going to be hard. It's a hard conversation, you know, whatever it is. Pray the tough prayer. Lean in. Trust God in prayer. If you want to grow and make your prayer more relational, I'm telling you, be these things that I've just mentioned and also trust God. But I got four more, and I'm looking at the list real quick. Yeah, these are all different, so I did this one right. Okay, pray for others. Pray for other people. Don't just always pray for yourself. Pray for yourself, please, but pray for others. Think about them. Put yourself in their shoes. Do you want to grow in compassion? Jesus was compassionate. Do you want to grow in compassion? Think about what they're going through, and then take that to God. And as you're doing that, that will help you to kind of figure out what it is that you need to do for them to show them you love them and that you care about them. You know, some people are just thoughtful people, and I know it seems that they're just naturally bent that way, and maybe they kind of are, but I think more and more that's something that's just cultivated. they had to figure out how to do that. And I think prayer's got to be a part of it. So you do that. And then number eight, pray with others. Don't just pray for others, pray with others. So when somebody says, hey, would you pray for me? What if you said, yeah, I'll be glad to. Let's pray right now. And you pray with them right then and there. Pray later too. I mean, when you're not in the presence of each other, but pray with people. And if you want to grow in the practice of prayer, private prayer, relational prayer, pray with other people as well. I'm always amazed at people's prayers, and I love hearing other people pray because it reminds me of things that maybe I need to be praying about. Number nine, pray in faith. When you talk to God, know that He's got it. Really give it to Him. You know, the old trite saying, let go, let God and let go. You know, I mean, we give it to God and then we need to turn loose of it. And sometimes we don't like to do that. And some of us are kind of type A kind of people, control freak kind of people. But you know, let God, pray in faith. So if you pray for your enemies, know that God's going to take care of that. And you can go on knowing God's got this. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. So if your enemy's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, you know. In doing so, you will not be overcome by evil, but you'll overcome evil with good, Romans chapter 12. Finally, pray meditatively. That's a mouthful. Meditatively. Meditation just means I'm churning something around in my brain. I'm just mulling it over. So it's not the guy with the long beard who goes up on top of a mountain and sits crisscross applesauce and hums to himself. You know, that's not what meditation is. And do a search in your Bible software sometime or online for the word meditate or meditation in scripture, and you'll see. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 1, in his law, in God's law, he meditates day and night. It just means I'm kind of churning it, thinking about it. So think about how good of a father God is to you. Think about how great God is. You know, use his word to help you meditate and let that fuel your prayers. There's this new song, and I'm not going to sing it at you, but I will remind you of the lyrics. And it's one of my favorites these days. But it says, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Well, a song like that helps me meditate on God's goodness, and that'll fuel a prayer is what that'll do. And that I guess, is what we mean by praying meditatively. I think these things, I said 10, really it's 9 because I duplicated gratefulness, gratitude. But these are things that we can do to make our prayers more relational.
Yeah, man, that's so good. I was trying to take notes. Just to recap, be open, just be honest, and just honestly pour out your heart to God. And you talked about David earlier, and just kind of how, you know, he was in his prayers. I think that's so helpful for us, and it kind of takes us away from sometimes that just rehearsed kind of prayers that we can get into before a meal or during church. And there's a time and place for that, like you mentioned. But being open can really help you make it more personal to you. Then be grateful. I love that. Of course, there's nothing wrong with giving praise to God. I don't think you can ever give enough praise to God. Be biblical. I love that one. You mentioned this earlier about having a study of the prayers in the Bible. I think my mom is teaching a Wednesday night ladies Bible study on prayers of the Bible, and it's been fun to hear her talk about it and just what she's been teaching and stuff like that. Cool. There's so many, and you don't have to know the I'm gonna steal this phrase, the BCV for that, but you can pray prayers from the Bible even if you don't have it all memorized. I love that. Be trusting in God's promises. I love that. Just knowing, you know, knowing who wins in the end, knowing that it's going to work out, knowing, you know, what happens in certain situations, knowing that God is always going to be faithful. I love that. Praying for others. This one can really stump you because you mentioned praying for your enemies, and the passage that's being read a lot today as we record this on November 5th, 2024, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. You're hearing that a lot, and praying for your enemies. And you mentioned, you know, a time when it was really difficult for you to pray for someone in which you were maybe having a conflict with. Man, I've been through the same thing. And the tough thing is that God not only wants you to pray for your enemies, like he actually, he wants you to like make their life better. And I think like praying for them and then blessing them, like that is so difficult. And that's so easy to say until it's you with an enemy and you're having to pray for them and you're asking God, hey, bless them, make their life better. That's so difficult to do. And yet it's the kind of life that Jesus calls us to live. And then pray with others. You know, I had a couple people that would do this in, you know, my childhood, but, you know, at Fried Hardeman, that really opened up my eyes to praying with others and how powerful that was. You know, someone would share something or I would share something and we would pray together. There's just something special about that when it's just a small intimate group or maybe just one-on-one where you're praying with someone or someone's praying with you. And it's just so powerful in our busy lives that someone says, hey, you know what? I'm on my way to class or I'm on my way to this meeting. That doesn't matter. Let me just stop real quick. Let me pray with you. It's so selfless and it's so loving. I love it. And then pray in faith. Just praying in the faithfulness of God that he's gonna make things work and he's gonna be faithful to us. And then meditatively, same thing happened with me. I got the red squiggly lines, but then I clicked the right word, and now so it is a word. I can confirm.
It is a word. Yeah, it is.
I love it. Thank you. I love it, and I love just sitting and knowing God. I forget how the quote goes. So I don't really want to butcher it, but it's basically just sitting with God, and you're just content with that. Just being still and knowing that God is God. I think that's a powerful thing, man. You brought up so many good points. I loved this episode. I loved recording with you and just thanks for coming on. This was a great episode.
Oh, this was an honor. Anytime we get to talk about prayer, just reminded of what a blessing it is. And there's this really old song, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Well, you know, I'm only hurting myself by not taking advantage of this tremendous blessing that I have to talk to God. And more than that, I'm also damaging my own relationship with God. And so prayer isn't just an extra thing. It's a vital thing. And I don't say that to beat up on anybody or make you feel like you need to do more. I'm just saying work on developing that discipline and you'll see that your life will be blessed by it because you're interacting with God, you know, so just part with absolutely. That. But thanks, Tyler, for having me on. It's been great.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for coming on, Robert. Appreciate you and all the work that you do. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.